And then, oh, and just so that y'all know, when I come back, we're going to do some more book studies when I'm not here so intermittently. So just so you're aware of that, I don't want you to think that we're always doing topical messages because we're not. But we are today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. This was taken here in Idaho just a short time ago. You can't get one up on God, can you? Like, when it comes to light, who does light better than God? No one. No one. God does light the best. Man, in his futile attempts, kind of tries. yeah, that's why it's up there. Although this is eye-catching, it doesn't really do it for me, personally. But apparently it is doing it for a group of people called, are you ready? The Daring Dirtbags of Utah. Outside Magazine article called them that affectionately. They're L pros, or lighting pros, who work for a company called Christmas Light Professionals of Salt Lake. This one 10-week season will lay 800,000 feet of roofline Christmas lights in Salt Lake. 2.5 million feet of lights on trees. apparently, cost is irrelevant in Salt Lake. These itinerant rock climbers, river guides, ski bums, you guys know what a ski bum is here in this valley, trekkers, thru-hikers, they work like super elves to get ready for, and this is a quote, the year's most beautiful holiday. Now, I prefer this. This to me is a little more, the lights on the trees between here and Ketchum, just stunning to see, you know, them all lit up like that. It warms my heart. It's just beautiful. I think they're spectacular. Not so much the last slide, but this one, this is nice. I asked myself the question after reading that article, why did Outside Magazine and Scott Yorko, the author, why did he call it the year's most beautiful season? Beautiful holiday. Well, from the world's perspective, it has to be about the lights. Listen to this quote from Raven. She's an L pro there working for the company. It's wasteful, it's opulent, excessive, and pointless. But I like what it pays me. These daring dirtbags can make in 10 weeks, second year, $35,000 to $55,000. So they go and they work, and then they go on their adventures, you know, and everywhere else in the world. They go and work 10 weeks out. They've got it figured out pretty good. They work some long hours. I want to read that again, though. Here she is, working for this company, making all this money, and this is her thought. It's wasteful, opulent, excessive, and pointless, but I like what it pays me. Well, I disagree. Celebrating light at Christmas time is not at all pointless. It's just not. It's appropriate, especially if it points to the great light of Jesus Christ. Agree? Okay. We're on the same page thus far. That's good. It is a conundrum, though, right? Like, society will call the lights that shine in the actual physical darkness beautiful. They'll call this holiday the most beautiful holiday, but yet in their hearts, spiritually, they reject the light, Jesus. The one who's come into the world to save them. The light that's come into the world. So as Christ followers, we're faced with the why question. Why? Why are they so stuck spiritually when they celebrate light tangibly and physically? I've thought about this quite a bit. You know, God's pretty frank about it here in John chapter 3. And this is the judgment. Light has come into the world. And people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light lest his works should be exposed. So there's this thing called, I like light, but spiritually, I want my life the way it is. I don't want it to change. I don't want to have to give up. They're kind of stuck in darkness in that way. And then don't miss the end of this, verse 21, because this is those of you and me who have put faith in Christ. Whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that is... Hold on to that thought for a minute, because that's kind of our big point today. Let me read to you these same verses from John from a paraphrase. I think it really brings it out a little bit more. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates Godlight. I'd never heard it called Godlight before, but it works. They hate the Godlight and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes Godlight, so the work can be seen for the God work it is. And that's from a fellow by the name of Peterson, who I just think does a good job of kind of explaining that. I appreciated the Ranella's already jumping into my sermon, thank you very much, and preaching it, so good job, family. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, and upon them a light dawned. You got to ask yourself the question. This is from Matthew, so Matthew's quoting pieces of prophecy. He's rehearsing prophecy from the book of Isaiah 9, and he's talking about it at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry here in Matthew chapter 4, just a few verses before where we are here in our text in Matthew 5. And we do have a text, and it's in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. So who are these people today sitting in darkness? Because this isn't just an Old Testament thing. This is now, because of Matthew, a New Testament thing, right? Who are these people? In Isaiah, and I'll read it again, it doesn't hurt to read it again, the people who walk in darkness will, and I have that underlined in my Bible, see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. If you remember, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light in Matthew. So in prophecy, they will see it, and in Matthew, here he is, Jesus is here, they're seeing it. We beheld his glory. You know, we beheld Christ. We've seen him by faith through the word. And then Isaiah goes on to, as it was read this morning, connect that people sitting in darkness are going to see a great light, and that child is Jesus. He's going to be born to us. That's who we're talking about, the Prince of Peace, the babe wrapped up in a manger. Jesus is the point of Christmas, amen? He is the great light. He is why we celebrate light. During the week, you know, it's dark in the morning, and I've come in a few times early, and the only light on in the church is this. And it's beautiful. And it just makes me want to worship Jesus and the light. I don't... You know, it's not an idol to me, and I understand there's some that don't like trees and things and connect it to idolatry in the Old Testament. I'm not one that makes that connection. They were carved idols different than this. I believe that the lights bring us to recognize that Jesus is who he said he is. I'm the light of the world. That's who he is, and we have that life. I have that life because I put faith as a 10-year-old boy in Jesus. He is my hope. He's my hope. Jesus is my hope. I was sitting in darkness, and now I'm in the light, and it's because of Jesus. I now am able to have the light of life, and I have it. I possess it. It's in me, and it's mine. I am alive in Christ, and Christ is in me. I have the light of life. For those who are in darkness, how will they see this light? Well, I'm glad you asked. I know you all asked. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. This is emphatic. What is? You. So picture Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. Picture the disciples. And picture him saying, you, John, you. Michaeline, you. That's the emphatic nature of this word. You're what? What? This is like, like my mind. You mean me? You? Jesus pointed at me as a follower of Christ? The door of heaven is open, and the glory that came to earth through Christ and the glory and the radiance of Jesus, I'm that? When my wife gets here, reminder of that, will you? That I'm that. I don't know that she always sees me that way, but it's okay. But I am that. I am that light. I'm not making this up. This is the word of God. I am the light of the world. It's you. If you're a Christ follower, it's you. And don't picture Jesus pointing at Peter or Thomas. Picture him pointing at you. You are the light of the world. You know, in all these years and many times in the Sermon on the Mount, something jumped out at me this week. And it wasn't the city so much as it was the hill. Having been in Lesotho and having been in South Africa, there's rondavels, thatched roofs, and believe it or not, with the thatched roof, they'll have a fire in the middle. It sounds like a bad combination, I know. But at night, when you drive out at night, and we didn't do it a lot for a lot of good reasons, but when you're out and you can see for miles that flickering flame. Not necessarily a candle, because, you know, the candles have their limits on how far. But you can see, now, and again, I'm stretching. It's not a city, but I can see multiple flickerings on these side hills. I still can picture it in my mind. Because they're on a hill, they're not hidden. There's other rondavels that are down in a donga or a ravine or canyon, as you would call it, and they're hidden. But because they're on a hill, it's not hidden. It's visible a long ways away. It's very hard to hide. D.A. Carson says that a city is the combined light of many disciples. And I agree. I think Jesus is talking to the disciples, and after he said, you are the light of the world, and then he says, a city on a hill. Now he's talking to them collectively too, that not only are you the light, but you individual lights make up this city, which is meant to be seen and not hidden. This isn't fluffy. Ordinary men who are followers of Jesus today, redeemed people, we are the illuminating radiance of great light. We're not to be hidden. I believe the church in the New Testament, which equals this, not as pretty as it is this, and as pretty as that candle is, and the lights and the decorations, and the light of Jesus was never meant to be contained in these walls. It was meant to be seen on hilltops. And that's us collectively. I want you to think about that. That's not easy to pull off, is it? I mean, practically. The light of Calvary, Bible, is to be seen collectively, not just individually. I really believe that's That's what Jesus is talking about here. We move to our next verse. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. To deliberately conceal the light of Jesus after he told you that he was the light, and then he told you you were the light, to conceal that light is beyond ridiculous. It's way past silly, and it's actually quite absurd. I don't know if you've recognized this or not, but in my life, there have been times when I was what I call, so let me aim it back at me first before I point at you. It's always safer to do that because you risk stoning if you do it the other way. So I was a CIA Christian for a long time. Concealment in action. You know, I'm a Christian. I got that light burning in there. I'm working hard. I mean, you don't know. I mean, my coworkers didn't know I was a Christian. Not until I got serious about being this light. It's so easy to be a CIA Christian, isn't it? Incognito in our schools. Wait. Jesus didn't say I had to be light in high school, did he? Yeah, he did. Yeah, you're going to be light everywhere. All of us everywhere as followers of Christ. I want you to think about this verse then to the original hearers. All. Who are the all that are in the house? So a house is where families hang out, right? That's where people live. I grew up with a lot of emphasis always on the lampstand and the light, and I appreciate that, but God was just showing me this week, what about what I'm telling you where that light is? It's in the house. Then it was children. It was a husband or a wife. It was extended family. Think about Peter's mother-in-law living in the house with them. It's in the house. Possibly servants then, in the house. So they see that light, that lamp, in the house. So now think about it with me. Light elevated on a stand, it's accessible, it's practical for people, family in close proximity. And if the doors are open, and think about what the house back then, the size of it. Think about probably not a lot of interior doors, so literally that lamp would radiate, that light would radiate into other parts of the house. Listen, we need to burn the baskets. We just don't burn them outside because the conservation people will be upset with you, but burn them in the fireplace. Just get rid of the baskets. It's absurd. We've been called to be light, not just on a hill, but in our house. Dads, does the light have its place? What light? You are the light. What light? Does the light of Jesus have that special place in your house so that everyone that's in your house knows he's the light? And it's infecting and affecting everyone in the house. But now think of it in a different way. Do you ever let anybody else in the house? Well, we got a dog. No, not the dog. Have your neighbors ever been in your house? I don't want to brag here, but I have a few neighbors that really love my wife's biscuits because they're really good, like better than any ever anywhere, the best. But I know my neighbor comes and eats breakfast with us often and sausage gravy, because it's good for the heart, sausage gravy. But you know, if he's not in my house, he doesn't see that the light's in that house. And he sees the light in the house because he's in the house. I'm a private person. I eat my Pop-Tarts in private. What? There's two in a package. Share them. What? I mean, why can't cook? You don't have to cook Pop-Tarts. Really? I wouldn't give a guest a Pop-Tart? You wouldn't? Why not? Why not? If it gets them in the house where the light is? It's worth thinking about, isn't it? People are sitting outside in darkness, and yet you have the light of Christ in your house. This made me think about the Shema. You know what the Shema is, right? The Shema is Deuteronomy 6. It's what Jews were commanded by God to do. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. Where? Where? We need to ask the question, where? That's my question. And you should talk of them when you sit in your house. Do you talk about the light in your house? I hope you do. And it goes on to say, you shall write them on the doorpost of your house. That's the Shema. That's the little box on the side that they touch when they go in and out of their house as Jews. The words are commanded to be on your heart and in your home and taught. So think about it that way. Because I think Jesus wants us to think about it not just on a hill, not just collectively, but then in a more intimate setting of our homes. And as the light is taught and in that home, we're to invite people into that light, I believe. We're not to hide it. We're to burn the baskets. I went too far. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it this way: light not only exposes the darkness, it shows and provides the only way out of the darkness. So light helps people find their way out of darkness. Years ago, I took some kind of struggling teenage young men. Jews look at 13-year-old, was a boy at 12, 13, they bar mitzvah, man, he's a man, right? So I call him men. I took him on a hike up in the Adirondack Mountains, and as we started the hike, we got there late, it's about a four-hour drive, we got up there in the mountains, it was raining, pitch black, oh, there wasn't any light. And we had our little headlamps, and we went about, I don't know, just a little ways down the trail, and then I collected the lights. All of them. Shut them off. And I made them trip and fall and run into trees and not like me. Then I gave them the lights back after an eighth of a mile. And they were like, oh, thank you. Are you insane? What is wrong with you? I didn't know you were going to torture me out here, because if I did, I wouldn't have come. You know, all of this stuff that I had to hear. Wait. And I said, but this is exactly how you're going through life. You're going through life in darkness, and you wonder why your life is such a mess. You need the light of Christ in your life. I think it worked. I think I had their attention, at least for a moment. Do I have your attention? That's imperative language. That's a command. Let your, remember Jesus pointing at you? Let your light shine where? Before men. I think we take this text in the Sermon on the Mount, I think it gets lost in a general way. Oh yes, we're light. I'm light. Yeah, to who? When? What did it look like? How? I'm a verb guy. I like verbs. Verbs means action, and I'm not bored with verbs. Are you bored with verbs? Verbs mean you're doing something, or somebody should be doing something. And Jesus wants us to be the light. He wants us to do something with what we are, what he's given us, what's in us, and that's our light, and that's the great light. This is a command. It's not optional. It should emanate from you regardless of where you are. It's personal, although its rays point to the Father in heaven, according to the verse, remember? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. So it's not look at me, look at me. It's look at him, look at Jesus, and point to Jesus, the rays of light. The other day, and you know, when you walk up the trail there, it's all dark and shaded and cool. It was quite cool. And I got to the top, and the sun peeked up and got on my face. Oh, isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? When you're out in the cold, and then all of a sudden that sun just comes. I just stood there. My dermatologist would not be happy with me, but I just like hit me. And it just, wow. But you know, that's how we're to be with people sitting in darkness. Hit me. Wow. I want more of him. He's a lunatic. That guy from New York, he's nuts. But I kind of like him. I'm not sure why. What is it about him? Why is he so nice? What? You know what I mean? Like we're the light's supposed to come out. It's not to be trapped. It's not privatized. What? This was a light for the whole world. I took those verses out of what? John 3. For God so loved the world, he gave us the great light, Jesus. And then he told us we were light so that we would shine. It provides an alternative to darkness. I work construction. I've been on job sites where there were no believers sitting on the sheetrock at coffee break but me. And I will advise you that be careful that if you let too much light out when there's a dozen of them and one of you, they'll gang up on you. It can get kind of ornery. When it's one-to-one, that's a little better. It's a little more user-friendly, especially in construction. I used to pray all the time, God, have them ask me questions. And why? I don't know why I was so surprised when they would ask me questions. So this God thing, what's that all about? One-to-one. We need to be an alternative to darkness. Before men is intentional. I heard that word up here as well. We're to let our light shine in such a way that it's multiple exposures, it's plural, it's relational, there's a purpose, and that purpose is to let people scratch their head and say, what is up with this dude? Why is he so whatever he is? Why? This isn't a once-off flash in the pan kind of thing. It's multiple exposures to light. This is the way Peter puts it. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness. That's me. I'm out. Praise God, I'm out. Because of faith in Christ, and I'm into that marvelous light. And now I am the light because he told me I am. So why am I out of darkness, and why do I have this marvelous light? So I can proclaim how excellent his light actually is and who Jesus is. Paul puts it this way, so that you might prove yourselves to be blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Men sitting in darkness need us to show up. They need us lit up. We have lightning bugs out in the east. Do you have them here? Oh, you just haven't lived, have you? And you thought the west was better. But there are certain nights in the summer when those things, the grandkids run around the yard trying to get them in a jar, and then they've got them in the jar, and wah, wah, wah. And they just like, they got it down. I mean, the bugs, they got it down. Do we? Do we light up the night sky, the darkness? All right. So I want to put this back up here. I want to emphasize for a minute We're to do this in such a way they may see. Who's the they? Those sitting in darkness. They need to see it. Why? To glorify your Father in heaven. So I need a couple volunteers. Johnny, you volunteered. Thank you. I need a couple more volunteers. Who will volunteer? Oh, two teenagers volunteer. Girls, no less. Come on up. Johnny, I need you to come right here and just stand. And for a moment, you're a CIA Christian, okay? Can you handle that? Just for a moment. I won't leave you there. But I want you to put your arms out like this because you're kind of a tree, okay? Ladies, light them up.
Okay?
And you say, well, this is a Sunday morning and this is church. Why are we doing this? So you never forget what you are, what you're to be. And you're like, I've never seen this in church before. No, and you probably won't again either. Because we're going to make him light. I want to give you another mental picture. You know, they have strings of lights now that run on little batteries. Wouldn't it be cool to drive down Haley at night in all of those lights and to see a bunch of teenagers running down the sidewalks with gospel tracts, but they had lights like this on, and they were from Calvary Bible, and they were like giving people the gospel as they were lit up. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, I know, I'm warped, but yeah, light, yeah, do a good job. Get them all lit up. Get them lit up. We're to do this in such a way, what? Let our light shine in such a way that they, a dark world, sees our good works. Now, we're not saved by good works, but good works is a result of our faith in Christ. Amen? And that ultimately is going to glorify our Father who is in heaven. So when we go to good works, I don't know why I got stretched out here. Sorry about that. But what are good works? They're prayer-bathed, Holy Spirit-empowered, love-soaked, humble, unexpected, mind-blowing. That's what they are. To who? To a world that's in darkness. What do I mean by that? This has got to be unexplainable by an unbeliever. That's what our works are. And they're plural, as we said before. Our works are plural. So don't grow weary. Literally an action which takes effort. It's good deeds. So here's back to my theory. We've taken this Sermon on the Mount, we've taken these verses, and we've so generalized them that we haven't made them specific. That Johnny, you are the light of the world. And that's not easy to be as a pastor because he's stuck in his office doing a lot of stuff during the week. Right? He doesn't work elbow to elbow with a bunch of tobacco-chewing, you know, rednecks. So we got to get him out there, right? We got to get him out. He's got to get out there. Or he's got to get him in his house. Now, I was in his house, but I'm a believer, so I don't count. But thank you, ladies. Yeah, your work's done. We just want to see how strong he is for a while. Because actually, it gets hard.
It does.
So you could put him down. You're an evergreen. Right. So evergreen. No. I didn't say leave.
Okay.
I just said, just don't give me a hard time. So, because they got it. This has got to be burnt into their hard drive, okay? So that's what these are. And they're not, again, it's not us. It's pointing to the light. We're to be a doer of the word. Amen? From James, we're to be a doers of the word. If you zero in on this, and if you exposit, or the fancy word is exegesis, if you break this down, these are specific good works the disciples were to do in people's lives that were unexplainable by people sitting in darkness. It isn't just some generic flyby. That's got to sink in. Because we can go through a whole Christmas season and never light up and never shine in front of an unbeliever who's sitting in darkness. We can go through a whole Christmas. That would be a shame. Equally so, to get caught up in how many presents do the grandkids need? The truth is, they live in America. They don't need anything. They've got everything. We're the richest nation in the world. Well, they don't need anything. They need Oma and Opa to be what? Lights in the house. They need to see me as a grandfather inviting people into that light. And as grandkids, they're like, wow, why is he here? Dad, why is this guy here? I'll never forget a Christmas where Muhammad was in my house from Iraq, PhD student and nuclear physicist studying at the university. He was in my house, and my brother, my missionary brother, was sitting there, who speaks three dialects of Arabic, and they were going back and forth at Christmas. And I remember some of my grandkids looking, this doesn't, you know, I don't think it felt Christmassy to them. But you know, there was a light on in the house. There was a lamp, and there was Jesus. And it's got to be in our house. He and I were just talking this week about how pastors and preaching are never supposed to use yourself as an example, because then, you know, you're lifting yourself up. If it's real to me, my stories are real to me. I'm sorry if you're offended with that, but they're the ones I remember. I don't remember your stories. And I don't want to go to a book and look up somebody else's story. So that's why I do it the way I do it, okay? Just so you know. That's why I do it that way. It's real to me. Muhammad is a dear friend. He's been on a faith journey. I don't know that he's there yet. In my house, every meal he's eaten, he was just in our house a few months ago. House. He's welcome in my house. Because he sits in darkness. He needs the light of Jesus in his life. And I am that light in his life, whether I want to be it or not. And I do want to be it. I'm loving it. The alternative is awful. Think about the alternative. And you're like, well, if I'm this to somebody, what if they mock me? What if they say no? What if they, like, you know, dismiss me, belittle me? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has just said, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you. So what does that mean? That means you have the opportunity now to respond to their persecution. And guess what your light does? It's as if I plug this into 220. When you respond like Jesus to persecution, that's why he lets suffering into our lives. When you respond, the light just goes, wow. It's brighter and brighter, and because it does, they can't explain why you're being so nice to them when they're like slapping you around verbally. I don't know if he can get out. Heidi, you want to help him out? You might have to help him out, because if he were to fall and end up, you know, down the street there, it wouldn't be good. I don't want it to go so wrong. Think about the Philippian jailer for a minute. He comes in, turns on the light after the earthquake, right? Okay, we're still here. You're still here. His life was on the line. You're still here. They were singing. They're singing. They're praising God. We're still here. Don't take your life. We're here. What must I do to be saved? Was the response, right? Wasn't that the response? He saw a light he couldn't explain in the apostles' lives, and then what happens to him? He ends up glorifying God. This part I wrestled with. How does an unbeliever come to a place where they glorify God? So the more I thought about it, I'm like, well, first of all, thankfulness. I believe we need to do works that cause people to be thankful in an almost, connect the dots. Then they recognize that the light isn't from you, that it's God in you. It's God at work. Then they ultimately come to know the way. Jesus, out of the darkness. Jesus is the way out of the darkness, amen? And ultimately, eventually, whatever, through that persistence of light in their life, they come to be a believer. Are you ready? Shake your head no, because you're not ready for this last slide. It's called practical application. So what do we do with this text? I've just emphasized some of what it means. What do we do? Well, I want to challenge you as an under-shepherd of Christ I want to challenge you as the light to be light in the next 24 days to someone, somehow. You're like, I'm single, shine, do it. Well, I don't know what to do. Ask God. Don't you think the God that commanded us to do good works that are unexplainable to people sitting in darkness will give us the good works? Don't you think he'll do that? He'll do that. What if, let me give you an example. I know teens, sometimes you guys are a little slow on the draw. I used to be one, so I can say that. What if a teen guy in this church went back by himself, as the city on a hill went to, the youth group went to, what if he went back, sat with a person, this doesn't have to cost money, sat with one of the men in that nursing home and just talked with him? Just let the light out. I hope that wasn't too indecent. What do you think that old guy would do? What do you think the nurses there would do? How do you think they're going to explain that? Well, let me get this straight. A teen from Calvary Bible, he came and he just sat here for an hour and chatted. And then he got up and left. If you're that teen, can I warn you? The blessing that you will feel from doing that, you will want to go back and shine again. And again. Because shining is contagious. Light is contagious. If you let it out. If you don't hide it. If you don't conceal it. You're like, I'm a widow lady. What can I do? Pray and ask God. God, what can I do? There's got to be somebody in your life that you can shine to some way. You could throw money at it, but I don't know. I think sometimes money is not, I think you should try, because money's easy. I mean, right? It's easy. But works, deeds, actions aren't as easy. It takes intentionality. So I've given you an assignment. What audacity of a new pastor to give you an assignment, and then I'm going to fly home. But can I share with you that I'm doing the assignment too? I'm just going to do it there. I'm going to do this there. Not just to be an example. I'm going to do it because I want to. I already know who I'm going to do it to. He's another neighbor. I'm pretty sure I know what I'm going to do. Because I've been talking with God about it. I've been thinking about it. You got 24 days, man. No excuse. Get it done. Get it done. So as we just wrap up these thoughts, I just want to express that Merry Christmas from Cheryl and I. There's a part of us that really wants just to be here, and there's a part of us that wants to be with family. We're torn, and it's a good tearing. You lose. We're back with family this year, and I look forward to being back with you. I can't wait to hear just the testimonies of what God's done in your life. If you're here or you're listening online and you're an unbeliever, we're here to talk with you about how you can know the light of the world, Jesus. You have to believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and that he shed his blood for you and your sin. And you have to call on his name. You have to ask Jesus to save you. In your own words, in your own heart, you and God, ask him to save you. And he will save you. You really don't need me. But I'm here if you want me. I'd love to pray with you and share more scripture with you. Johnny as well. Heidi as well. We're here for you if you want that. Father, this morning, I just pray that you would help us to be doers of the word. We've ripped apart your word, just a couple of verses. I'm convinced. I hope my brothers and sisters in Christ are convinced. They are the light that you told them they are. And I pray that we would find someone who sits in darkness and care enough to do what's unexplainable to them in the way of love, in the way of action, in the way of hope, We were meant to give the world what we have, what we are. And that's the light to do that. Help us to do it. Help us to take this seriously. Help us to never forget Johnny wrapped up in lights so that we would do it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.